Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you could still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day. Okay, we're supposed to start. All right, announcements. First of all, shout out to all our friends in Roseau. They have
Roseau friends.
Yeah, the Lundquist family. Kate Lundquist has started a watch party up in Roseau. And I have to read. The way we met the Lundquist family was amazing. They came to a common table in Esco. And they live in Roseau, but came to Duluth and heard about our church. And it was before we transitioned into Neighborhood Church. And she sat down and she was saying how she was frustrated about her church experiences. And she's like, "What kind of church are you?" And I said, "Well, actually, we're starting to become a neighborhood church. And we're starting soon. And we're an affirming and inclusive church." And like her like face brightened up. She's like, "I've always wanted a church like that." So they thought about moving to Duluth to be a part of a bigger town and then also to be a part of this church.
It just didn't work,
but this is what she sent me today. She goes, "I thought God showed me your church that we would move there. It seems like it was because God needed you guys here." I love that, of like, they want a similar place, a similar experience that people in Carlton, St. Louis County get to experience. Of where there's a good and beautiful God and everyone's welcome and everything belongs. So, oh yeah, you gotta keep it open. So, to all our Roseau folks, we're super pumped.
Yeah, if you are from Roseau, could you just say that? Say, "Hey, we're from the Roseau."
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Area, hi. That way, for people who are gathering and talking, they can greet and say hi to you too. That'd be great. All right, so we are...
This is the big announcement, by the way. This is a big one. Oh, I'm talking about this one.
No, I'm going to talk a little bit. You remember when we talked about this beforehand?
Oh, yeah.
Because you get really excited. You get in preaching mode, and then I just stand here like, he's just going for it.
Yeah.
So you can add, but I'm going to share. I'm going to start with this. It's church in the time of COVID, right? So we're trying to figure out how do we... We're doing this thing. We're doing our online church service. But really what we're realizing is the thing that we're all missing... Even though your messages are awesome and the worship, Steve, is great, and the thing we're really missing is being able to see our friends and be in the same space with our community. So we've really been thinking about, like, how do we do that in a way that's safe and as safe as you can be and stay connected. So we're going to keep doing our online services, but what we're going to start doing is we're going to have neighborhood gatherings. They're going to start on July 12th. So we'll have online church. And then after that, we're going to meet down in Cloquet at the
Voyager Park.
At the Voyager Park.
I'm pointing as if you guys know.
It's right over there, right?
Yeah.
I can't see. I'll just point in front of you.
Okay.
I'm not going to point in your face. And there's a park there. There's a place for everybody to get together and be present. What else do you want to say about that?
So what I want to say is that we're continuing to meet as a board. And on the last time we met, we unanimously voted. The board 100% voted to wait till Labor Day to even consider reopening. We have an amazing hip With It and Wow space. It's just way too small.
Yeah.
So when we are talking as a staff of what is the felt need, and we talked about doing outdoor church, and we thought, well, then kids have to like stay in parents' laps. Everyone has to wear masks. We can't sing. We can't do communion. Can't share coffee. And then we'd have to like stay engaged while I talk for about 2 hours, right? But what people would want is talk before and talk after. That's the best part of church always, I think, is talking before and talking after. So that's why we're gonna have these neighborhood gatherings every Sunday starting July 12th from 12 to 2. You can come for 10 minutes, you can come for 2 hours. And on our website, and on that email that everyone read, we also put some tips, some best practices about when we're gonna be hanging out, some things that we're encouraging people to do. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I'm excited about that. And then also with all these, with all these new people like in Rosa, but we've also had a ton of new people hop on and really appreciate and like Neighborhood Church. I thought it'd be good to do something called Neighborhood Beginnings, where it's gonna be like an introduction to what Neighborhood Church is, go through our values, go through our story, and then just do some Q&A of a lot of people wanna know about our theology, they wanna know how we arrived on becoming Neighborhood Church. And it's a beautiful story. It's also an incredibly hard story. And we celebrate August 1st, the first Sunday in August. It'll be 1 year as a Neighborhood Church. Neighborhood Church. So we'd love to have you join. It's gonna be this Tuesday, June 30th from, at what time did I say? 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Tuesday. And you don't need to register, just hop on Zoom. We'll put on our website the link. And then also on July 12th at 4 p.m. to give people two different times. So if you want to know about who we are, our story, and just get more connected, show up.
Yeah, that's great.
Coffee and donuts.
Coffee and donuts. We have coffee and donuts. This wasn't my announcement. Okay. You stole my announcement. So coffee and donuts is all that's written down.
Coffee and
donuts. Tell us more about coffee and donuts, Chris.
We delivered coffee from Duluth Coffee Company. The best coffee I've ever had. The pink bourbon. Oh, it was so good. And donuts from Johnson's Bakery or Ed's Bakery.
Johnson's?
Okay. I know Ed Johnson.
So we did a donut delivery.
About 2-3 months ago, we delivered to everyone and people loved it. And we delivered like 130, 140 to different houses. Mm-hmm. And we started again. We got another round, another wave. That's a trigger word. We got more.
Another round of coffee and donuts coming your way. So yeah. How do you want to do this?
If you did not get any 2-3 months ago, and you want some, please message us. Bree's gonna post a link on the comment section. And you can also go online if you're watching on our website. And you can sign up and register so we can make sure that you get some donuts. If you got some previously, don't worry. The next 2 weeks, we are delivering them out into St. Louis County and Carlin County. It's gonna be good. All right. And I wanted to say before we go to worship, since Jeff Heidkamp spoke 3 weeks ago, we've had a lot of people ask questions about how we can partner with people who have any kind of addiction, or people who just feel like their drinking is getting problematic. And we have now 2 AA meetings that meet here at the Hub, one on Tuesday night at 8 and another one on Saturday night, I believe at 7. But it's all on our website, where you can go on under groups, and they can get you connected, and so that there's people who know what you're feeling. Okay, we are gonna have Steve do some worship, and then Sarah Olson's gonna be delivering a message.
Thanks, Chris.
Welcome, Steve.
You look fantastic, by the way. Hi, everyone. Happy Sunday. We're gonna do 2 songs. God, I Look to You is our first song by Jen Johnson. Again, feel free to pull that up on the interwebs and sing along. And follow along if you'd like, sing with me, and just, this is our time to be able to connect. God, I look to You. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like You do. And God, I look to You. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom to know just what to do. And I will love You, Lord, my strength. Yes, I will love You, Lord, my shield. Yes, I will love You, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love You, God. Overwhelmed, give me vision things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. Yes, I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. Yes, I will love, yes, I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. Yes, I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God.
A string, so that's nice. Is there another guitar?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool. Sorry about that, folks, but you know, this kind of stuff happens. I apologize if this distracts you from engaging, but we'll get back to it. Be back with another guitar. See, I got my roadies today.
Hey. See, that's what musicians do. Musicians take care of each other.
All right, now go restring my other guitar, please. Thank you. All right, cool. Here, I'm just gonna get back into that song again, if you don't mind. Let's start with I Will Love You.
Yes, I will love you. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Is hallelujah, our God reigns. Oh, hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days, hallelujah. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days, hallelujah. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. Yes, I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God.
Next song, Beautiful Things by Lisa Gunger and Michael Gunger.
Wonder if my life could must ever be found. Could a garden come up from this ground at all? You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things. You make out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. You make beautiful things.
Amen. Thank you. Chris is coming back up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hey, thanks for breaking a string. Super professional, dude. It's awesome. Thank you.
Just how hardcore I am.
Not hardcore.
All right. So, like I said, Sarah Olson's me sharing today. They are an amazing, amazing human, and their story is going to be great. So let's give a round of applause. Hans, get it up around here. Give it up for Sarah.
I don't know about all that, but I'm going to just adjust this so that I don't rant for 20 minutes. So I have something holding me grounded. Hey, I'm Sarah. I am going to talk about pride and the Holy Spirit and my journey of embracing my sexuality and my gender identity in a way that taught me a lot more about who God is and how that changed my relationship to the church and how deeply connected all of that is to my faith. Before I do that, though, I want to off the bat acknowledge that we don't have a Pride Month to celebrate if it were not for Black trans women fighting for my rights and the rights of all LGBTQ people. And we are coming up on the 4th of July and celebrating Independence Day. So as you engage with what our nation calls Independence Day, I invite you to reflect on the fact that there are still Black and trans people, all Black and trans people are still fighting for basic rights. And just whose independence are we celebrating? And I would encourage you, if you hear me say anything today, hear me say this. Spend the next week learning about our nation's history and whose independence we have and who still doesn't have it, and learn about the cost of that independence on Black lives and Indigenous lives and women and all the ways that those people and Latinx people and disabled people and neurodiverse people are still fighting for basic rights. And I would encourage you to spend the week of Independence Day learning about how you can partner with fighting for independence for those people as well. So, now then. like Chris said, my name is Sarah Olson, and I identify as a non-binary pansexual person. If you don't know what that means, that's okay. It essentially means that I'm a non-conformist in most regards. That's a joke, but kind of true. my pronouns are they, them, for reference. But I have known that I was queer since I was 10. I did not come out until I was 24. And I talked about it to a couple people throughout that 15 years. But this right here is the first time I'm talking about it publicly. And so that's terrifying, and I'm very nervous, but also excited. It's so cool that I get to do this. I have been a Christian for 6.5 years, and that has meant something different to me almost every moment of those 6.5 years. I have been a part of churches that express their faith in a variety of ways, and I am grateful for all of those expressions of faith and what I've learned from them and the ways I've grown because of them. But I can't tell you how honoring it is to be a part of a church who not only accepts and embraces LGBTQ folks, but gives them a voice and a platform. So thank you. I appreciate it more than I can say. So I want to be clear. that I am not here to make a theological case or defense for LGBTQ people existing within the church. I am here to talk about pride and share my story. And I will reference loads of books and movies that you guys can watch and read on your own time. And I want to equip you to do the work and learn about it yourself. So I gave my life to Jesus in 2013. And up until that point, I had used anything and everything to just numb myself from existence. I had a lot of stuff going on internally, mental illness stuff, and just a lot of things that I didn't want to deal with. And so I used a lot of things to just check out. And one of those things was relationships. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I felt this invitation to just not date or engage with that for 5 years. And I did that. And I think what God intended for that period was that I would dig in and find my identity and find ways to root my identity in Christ, because I didn't have a clue who I was, and I was grasping at anything that could tell me who I was. And I think I did that in a lot of ways. And I also used rooting my identity in God as an excuse to not deal with the parts of my identity that I was uncomfortable with, and that would make other people uncomfortable. So I just buried those and would say that my identity is in Christ. 2 years ago, I was interning for a church, and throughout that internship, God did a lot of work on my insecurities and my identity. And I think more than anything, I experienced a softening of my heart and an empowering and amplification of the gifts that God had placed in me. And I am so grateful for that experience, and I would not be standing here if it weren't for the relationships that I made through that internship, like even specifically Asa Harding and Makosa Rodetsky and Megan and Natalie and Rachel Riefenberg, Justin Gentinen, and the Wilson family times a billion. I'm so grateful. And also, because of a lot of factors, I didn't feel safe in that environment talking about my sexuality and my gender identity, because I was scared. And when I was trying to figure out what I was gonna do after my internship, I realized that if I stayed in Duluth and stayed in the environment I was in, that I was gonna have to deal with that. And that, I didn't wanna do that. So I did what you do in your 20s, and I moved to Colorado instead of dealing with my problems. So it didn't work. I got to Colorado and realized that it all followed me there. And so I started reading. I started reading every book I could get my hands on about LGBTQ in the church and spirituality, and stances like A, side A, side B, which essentially means fully affirming, embracing, or recognizing that you can be gay and choose to be celibate. There were stories of people coming out, stories of people who thought that they were gay and that God healed them of that. There was all kinds. And while I was reading those books, I used, the greatest tool of discernment for me was the fruit of the Spirit. So as I read, I noticed which beliefs led me to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and which beliefs led me to shame and hiding and fear, which theological statements drew me toward God and which ones pushed me away. Whether or not you're queer or coming out, I do recommend that for just deciding anything, follow the fruit of the Spirit, because it is 10 out of 10. But I encourage you, if you haven't done the work of figuring out how you feel about queer people being in the church and embracing who they are, and or black rights or trans rights or gun control or fill in the blank, the Holy Spirit is always doing the work of liberation, affirmation, inclusion, and justice. And so if your theology or belief or the way you read the Bible doesn't lead you to those things, you're missing what the Holy Spirit's doing. So I read a bunch of books, And on about book 15, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, you can keep reading books, but you're eventually going to have to do something, which was offensive to me as an under-functioner. I just realized it was probably healthier for me to deal with it. So 6 months later, February of 2019, I had a meeting with a prominent worship leader in Denver. And I've looked up to her for years. She is fearless and confident and unashamed to be herself in every room. And honestly, one of the best leaders I've ever encountered. She is kind and present. And in every moment I've encountered her, challenged me to my core in the good ways. And on the drive to her house, I felt like the Holy Spirit was asking me to talk to her about my sexuality. And I didn't want to do that. So I made a counter offer to God and was like, I'll talk about it if she brings it up, because I'm not going to bring it up. Surprising to me at the time, less so now, she did bring it up. And she not only brought it up, she was like, from the second you walked in the door, I felt like I was supposed to ask you about this. And I didn't know how to ask you about it, but I also feel like you were supposed to bring it up and you weren't going to. I was like, I didn't know that the Holy Spirit was in the business of outing people. And like, I wasn't a huge fan of that at first. Like I was like, this is not okay. But also I recognize now that I needed a dramatic measure to get me moving, because I was never going to do anything. So Annabeth challenged me to have conversations with people in the church that I was leading worship at and the church that I interned for. And I realized how scary that was and what it was going to cost me. And I also realized that I needed to do it. I did not do it out of a place of confession or shame, but out of a place of integrity and differentiation, of knowing how powerful it is to be honest, and how much being honest is the key to having a relationship with people. I want to interrupt myself. That worked for me. That advice worked for me. I needed somebody to push me. I needed somebody to get me moving, because I was paralyzed by fear. But I would not say that to anyone who is coming out or wrestling with their identity in any capacity. Sometimes people, and specifically church people, can feel unsafe to talk to about things. Sometimes people can have great intentions of being safe and helpful, but because they're part of a system that's bigger than them, that is oppressive, it takes more than intention to be kind and helpful. There are lots of examples I could give for that, but fill in the blank. So if you're in the process of coming out or figuring out who you are, trust your gut, trust your judgment, trust the Holy Spirit, because at the end of the day, I would love to be a safe place for you, and I know that Chris and Nikki would as well, but you get to decide when, where, to whom, and in which environments you feel safe to be honest. We don't get to decide that for you, so trust yourself. So over the spring and summer of last year, I came out to my immediate family, close friends of mine, some church leaders, and of course all my non-church friends who were like, we know, what do you do? So I thought that that was going to be the hardest part. I thought that the coming out to people close to me and having those conversations was going to be hard. It was. But I was not prepared for how difficult it was going to be to come out to people who I'm not close with or who don't know me quite as well. I moved back to Duluth from Colorado in September of last year, and reintegrating myself into an environment where when I left, I was a different person. It was way harder than I thought it was gonna be. For the most part, people responded so well to me, and I am so blessed to have friends and family who love and accept and embrace me in all capacities. People who don't know me as well have been the people who have responded less well. And there's exceptions across the board. But there were people who, when I was honest with them about embracing my queerness, the first sentence out of their mouth was a theological disagreement to what I had just shared. There were people who asked me to theologically defend myself. There were people who just didn't believe me and said things like, I just don't think that you are. There were people who compared my story to sin that they struggle with. There were people who said really hurtful things. And there were people who said really amazing things. And I didn't always know how to respond in the moment, and I still don't sometimes. I always try to respond in ways that are loving and kind and helpful, and I don't always succeed at that. But in this moment, here's what I'll say. My theology is rooted in Christ, the Christ that was and is offensively inclusive. My theology is rooted in Christ, who is love. And rooting my identity in Christ means that even if every person that I love and look up to rejects me, that I'm still worthy of love and that my identity is not shaken by that. Rooting my identity in Christ means that I don't have to be afraid of what other people are going to think or say about me, because I am entirely loved and accepted right now in this moment. Throughout the Old and New Testament, God is constantly rupturing binaries that humans created in order to be divisive or make sense of things. And we see that through Jesus inviting people to see things through a non-binary lens. And that gives me permission to live in a non-binary reality. I radically follow and trust the Holy Spirit. And here's why. Whether or not a church, a business, a person, a society accepts or advocates for someone, the Holy Spirit is advocating for that person. Whether they are Black or trans or queer, differently abled, neurodiverse, the Holy Spirit is advocating for people who have been silenced and oppressed by church and society and people. So I choose in every moment to advocate with the Holy Spirit and fight for those people, including myself. Which leads me to pride and identity and calling. Reverend Elizabeth Edmond is a lesbian priest from New York City, which is my favorite sentence to say. And she wrote a book called Queer Virtue that was very pivotal for me in the last couple of years. It took me 8 months to read it because it confronted everything in me and made me really uncomfortable, but it was great. She has a chapter called Pride where she breaks down the difference between pride and hubris, which were, they existed synonymously in my brain before I read this book. And I will let you guys read the book, but I want to talk about how she uses pride in a biblical context. So I'm just going to read this, so I'm not going to be looking at you, sorry. Some of the most prominent figures in Scripture begin their work by giving voice to healthy pride. They are people whom God calls by name. When they hear their names, these people sit bolt upright and respond with the Hebrew word hene ani, which means here I am. When God called Abraham, Moses, Mary, Samuel, they all responded, here I am. The person who says Hene Ani is basically saying two simple things. One, yes, it's me, the one you're calling. And two, I'm right here. Hene Ani is thus a statement of identity and presence. And that is why Hene Ani is a declaration of pride. The person names themselves and declares themselves to be present. All of that happens well before they know what they're supposed to do, before God is giving them their calling. And as we try to walk this path of queerly Christian virtue, our first step is to simply cultivate awareness of ourselves while declaring ourselves present to God. Hene Ani is a response of one who is wide open, poised for action. So God used Liz Edman breaking down Hebrew words and explaining queer theology to mentally prepare me for what was to come. But you know what God used to emotionally prepare me? You guessed it, Disney movies. So much of what I perceived my identity to be was rooted in calling and what I was going to do and what job I was going to have and where I was going to go. I was going to be a worship pastor, a counselor, an abolitionist. I was going to do all these things. But coming out as queer in a non-affirming environment, I had to surrender the idea that any of those things was like were ever going to happen. Working in full-time ministry didn't seem real because I just didn't know that that could exist and in embracing a queer identity. But that was what I was working for years. It was what I went to college for, what I interned for, it was what I was moving towards. And so when that was removed, my prayers sounded a lot like, what do I do? And why would you call me to that and then take it away? Or who am I actually without those things? I had no idea what to do. And navigating those waters it was terrifying and so incredibly lonely because I was one of the only people I knew who was going through that. And since then, I have lots of people who have come in and walked alongside me and said, me too. And I'm grateful for that. But at the time, I was really alone. Which brings me to Moana. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, I am going to spoil it. If you have seen it, you know the part at the end where her grandma comes and talks to her and she is just like speaking all these truths and saying like who she is and where she's from and all this stuff, and she encourages her and says like, sometimes the journey gets difficult. And then she poses the question, do you know who you are? And then Moana sings all those truths about herself and she says, the call isn't out there at all, it's inside me. It's like the tide, always falling and rising. I will carry you here in my heart. You remind me that come what may, I know the way. I am Moana. I cry 10 out of 10 times that I watch that scene. It's so good. But then she goes to try to defeat Taka again, because she failed the first time. And she ends up speaking identity and truths into Taka and returning the heart of Tafiti. And it's... that movie is the gospel. But when watching that one time, the Holy Spirit paused me and said, that is your calling. And for a second, I was like, I have never been on the ocean before. But then they paused me and said, I speak identity into you. You speak identity over yourself. And then you go and speak truth and identity into other people. And everything that I had thought that was my calling fit under the umbrella of that truth. And it was no longer titled to a job or a title. It was just who I was made to be. The other Disney movie that was used a lot was Frozen 2, and that came out too recently for me to spoil it. But if you know, you know. So this has been a little bit tangential, but here's my point. I am proud of who I am. I'm still learning. My beliefs and my relationship to God are changing and growing every day because they should. I have made a lot of mistakes. I have days where I'm less in touch with God and God's love. But right now, today, I am proud of all that I am. And I know that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. When I think about celebrating Pride Month, I think about Moana. I think about knowing who you are. I think about knowing what it is you're made to do. I think about when Jesus was fasting and the enemy came and used scripture against him, trying to manipulate him into believing he was anything other than the embodiment of love. And how because Jesus knew who he was, he didn't give in to that fear. He didn't need to fold to that abuse because he knew who he was. I think about, here I am, Lord, send me. I think about Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. I think about Romans 8:39, nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love for us. I think about this story from Vicki Beeching's book, Undivided, which also changed my life. Rabbi Zusia was an influential 18th century Jewish teacher. As he lay on his deathbed, he couldn't stop crying. His followers stood around him asking, "Rabbi, why are you so sad? After all the good deeds you have done, surely you'll receive a great reward in the afterlife." Rabbi Zusia replied and said, "I am afraid. When I get to heaven, I know God is not going to ask me, 'Why weren't you more like Moses? Why weren't you more like David?' I'm afraid that God will ask me, 'Zusia, why weren't you more like Zusia?' And then what will I say?" I will end with this. There is nothing more worshipful than being exactly who God created you to be. There is nothing more freeing than surrendering all the masks that we all wear to be what other people want us to be. There is nothing more Christ-like than loving your neighbor as yourself, loving your queer and trans neighbors, loving yourself. In the words of Richard Rohr, the gospel is that you are accepted, and faith is accepting that you are accepted. No matter how you identify, no matter what's been said to you in the past, whether or not you identify as LGBTQ+, there's an invitation to the beauty and freedom that exists within accepting and loving and being proud of who you are. You are seen, you are accepted, and God is for you. So if God is for you, who can be against you? I'm gonna pray for us and then I'm gonna be done. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for the ways that you orchestrated my life and brought me into freedom. And I pray in this moment that anybody who is wrestling with their identity, wrestling with whether or not they'll be accepted, if they're honest about their experience and who you've made them to be, God, would you give them the boldness and the feeling of safety that you gave me? Would you give them people to talk to so they're less alone? And God, right now, every person that's watching, would you just speak truth to who they are? However they identify, would you speak your love and grace and radical acceptance in this moment? You say we love you, and thank you. Thank you. Thank you.